Let us pray. Our Father, we praise thy holy and righteous name tonight because thou art good and gracious and merciful and faithful and long-suffering unto us. Oh, how good thou hast been to us. How precious thou hast been. How thou hast borne us truly on eagle's wings and carried us. Thou hast lifted us up. We'd not dash our foot against a stone. We thank thee that thou hast upheld us through thick and thin over these many years. And when we look back and see all that has come our way in thy providence, yet and in all thou hast been faithful not to put on us any more than we were able to bear. But you did make a way of escape that we were able to bear it, and we do praise thy holy name for it. We thank thee for thy keeping power, for thy delivering power. We thank thee for thy cleansing blood and thy righteousness that covers us. And we praise thy name tonight that thou art on the throne. In all of thy majesty and glory and power, and thou dost sit there as the ruler over all, ruling the kingdoms of this world for thy church. Lord Jesus, we just praise thy name for thy ascension and for thy intercession within the veil, and that thou art sitting there ruling and reigning for thy people. How long it'll be before you come, we do not know. That's in the Father's hands. But we do long for thy coming. We do long when we shall see thy face. We shall be made in thy likeness, and we shall be finished with sin. And no longer will we have to do with self, nor the devil, nor the world. And our Father, while you tarry, we do pray that we will pray, we will preach, we will teach, we will live, and we will work for thy glory. We will not slack off, but we will go on looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Thou knowest, as you have set before us an open door, no man shall close it, because you said, we have a little strength and has not denied thy name. And that even that little strength thou hast given to us, and we thank you for it. We long to live for thee. We long to be like you. We long to be filled with the fullness of God. We long that Christ Jesus, the Lord, will be all in all. And we give ourselves to thee tonight that you may take us and do with us as you will. We belong to thee by creation. We belong to thee by regeneration. We belong to thee by adoption. And we praise thee and thank thee that this three chord cannot be broken. And we thank you that you have bound us to thee, our Father, in Christ. Have mercy upon this people. Give them what is needful in each and every home, each and every husband and wife and father and mother, each young person, each individual, each family. We do pray for them. Thou knowest their needs. Thou knowest those that are lost in our midst. Oh, we do pray that thou wilt lay hold of them and draw them unto thyself. And our Father, we do pray that you will bless this assembly for thy glory, and bound our hearts together in love as never before. We pray that thou wilt provide all that is needful, and especially the postage. We might send out those 28 mail sacks to Brazil with that message on the work of the Holy Spirit and our salvation. You may use it. We do trust it and trust you, Father. Thou knowest our needs, and we do pray that you will lead and will guide. We look to thee for thy word tonight. Fill us with thy spirit. Cleanse us from sin, for we need cleansing. Deliver us from ourselves and our own thoughts and our own ways. And, O Lord, undertake for us and let us know again and again by faith that underneath are thy everlasting arms. For it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. I want you to turn with us again tonight to Ephesians chapter 3. And let us read verses 14 through the end of the chapter. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning with verse 14. Paul said, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." And as we've showed you in our last messages, our past messages, the Apostle Paul seems not to be satisfied with these believers as they were. He thanks God for the fact that they had been called out of paganism, that God had redeemed them by his blood, and clothed them in his righteousness, and that they had turned from idols unto the living God. He gives praise unto God for this. And he thanks God that they were numbered among the elect, among his people, and that Jesus Christ the Lord was their king, ruling and reigning for them in glory. But he wanted them to go on. He wanted them to know more of the redemptive grace of God. Redemption and conversion was the beginning. But he wanted them to go on and to know more of this Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He told them that he had been called by God to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ to the Gentiles, and he wanted to be the means of imparting to them this grace and this mercy. But he was praying that they would not stay where they were, but that they would go on to higher and greater and infinite possibilities, that they would know more of the living God, that their wants and desires would be after God as never before. He wanted them to enjoy all the blessings of the grace of God that the Lord Jesus Christ had bought for them. He wanted them to experience, even as he had experienced, the deeper things or the greater things of God. He wanted them to go on to greater things. And so this was the reason that he prayed. In fact, this was the reason for all of his prayers. If you remember in our first message, we told you that wherever you read in the epistles, the apostles' prayers, and they're all through there, and his 13 epistles, you'll notice that he was always praying for spiritual things for his people. Only one place did he ever pray that God would supply all of their need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He never prayed for their healing, even though he said they had prayed for his. But all of his prayers were for the spiritual need of his people. The churches where he had been, those that had come under the contact of his ministry, and even where he had not been, there to Rome, his prayer was that they would know more of the spiritual things of God, and their hearts would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ in all of his glory and majesty. So when he began to pray this prayer, of course he began to ask for spiritual things. He began to pray that they might be filled with all the fullness of God. That was the beginning. Then he began to ask that God, out of his great riches, the riches of his glory, would give them all of these things. First, strengthen them with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And then second, that Christ would dwell in their hearts by faith, or as he says in Colossians, richly by faith. And that they would be rooted and grounded in the love of God and the love of Christ. They would know more and more about him. And then, as we saw in our message last Sunday evening, his prayer continued that they may be able to comprehend with all saints that what is the breadth and length and depth and height of the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that which was incomprehensible. Yet he prayed that they may know it, that they may revel in it and rejoice in it and meditate upon it. And that's what God wants us to do. To meditate upon this, that it would show in their personality, it would show in their conversation daily, it would show in their life that they had been with the Lord Jesus. And now he comes in that latter part of the 19th verse and seemingly asks for something that is above and beyond our imagination. He is praying that the Ephesian Christians and that we as the people of God who would read this down through the centuries and millenniums would be filled with all the fullness of God. That's quite a prayer. That's quite a thing he was asking. They might be filled with all the fullness of God. And as we look at next Lord's Day, even the Lord willing, in that 20th verse, after he had got through praying for all of these things for these people, he seems to tell them, listen, if you think all of this is impossible, I want you to know that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. If you think that praying to be strengthened with might by God's Spirit in the inner man is not attainable, I want to let you know that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above that or anything that you possibly can ask for in the spiritual realm. He says, if you think that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you would be taken up with him continuously and walk in that life of fellowship and communion with him, if you think that's impossible, then listen, I want to let you know that God is able to do far beyond that. Anything that you ask or think, God is able to do beyond that. And then if you believe that being rooted and grounded in God's love, that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, if you believe that's beyond God given to you in this life, then I want to let you know God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think by the power that worketh in us. Beloved, God of the average Christian is too small. We do not look at that power. We do not look at the one who sits upon the throne. Our requests are too small. Our undertakings are too small. And then when we get to one like tonight, where he's praying that we might be filled with all the fullness of God, not that we might become like God, infinite, but we might be like God in so many ways and be filled with him, then if you think that that's utterly impossible for someone like you and I, and I want to let you know that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think by the power that worketh in us. Now by this expression, he is not saying that we are to be eternal or fill eternity as God does, for he's from everlasting to everlasting, and God alone is eternal. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about the immutability of God, the unchangeableness of God. And we will come to the place in this life where we will be unchangeable. No, he's not talking about that. We can't be like God in that glorious attribute. He never changes. For every good gift and every gift cometh down from a Father, from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no changeableness. There's nothing, there's no change, no shadow of turning with him. It's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about being filled with the omnipresence of God, that we could be everywhere present as he is, or the omniscience of God, that we would know all that God knows. That's not what he's talking about. Or that we would be omnipotent, all-powerful as God is, or that we would be majestic and glorified as God is glorified in all of his inherent and essential glory that belongs to God himself. For the angels fall down before him as recorded in Revelation 4 and pay homage to him, for he is God and beside him there's none other. And so we do, and so shall we ever do when we see him as he is. That's not what he's talking about. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. But what he is talking about is this. That which he has commanded us to be. For in the Old Testament and in the New, the Word of God comes home to our heart, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." So when he's talking about being filled with all the fullness of God, he is talking about the very holy God indwelling us. We becoming like him in holiness. And walking in that way. We must never forget that the Lord Jesus Christ told his disciples in John 14, 15, and 16, and then after having told that to them, he prays the prayer for them, that he and the Father would come and take up their abode in them, and that he would give them of his Spirit, and the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit would come and take up his abode in their hearts and in their lives. He tells us in many places that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And he says definitely in Colossians 2 that in Christ dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him. And that he has come to take up His abode in our hearts and in our lives. If this great truth would grip our hearts tonight, that we who know the Lord, we who have been redeemed by the grace of God, that the living God, the Holy God, the three in one God, has come to take up His abode in us, and that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. If this would grip us, He's with us continuously. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He is with us continuously. And then He desires for us to be like Him, to be filled with His fullness, and that is to be filled with His holy presence, and us to be aware and conscious of this, whereby we walk in a holy way. And our minds are filled with the purity of God. And we desire to be pure even as He is pure. We desire to be clean. We desire to have holy thoughts. We desire to speak holy words. We desire to act in a holy way every day. Oh, now you said, Pastor, I see myself to be nothing but a failure and a sinner. But we should ever pray that we would be filled with the fullness of God, because He saved us to be like Christ. He saved us that we might be holy as He is holy. And He desires that we would walk in that holy way. Well, I don't know if I could live a holy life where I have to work, or with the people that I have to associate with. Well, here's a prayer that you can pray. I might be filled with the fullness of God. And I'm going to ask you a question. While we're thinking along these lines, and I'm going to ask you a question. Do you want to be like Him? Do you want to be like Christ? Or do we wear Him, as it were, only on Sunday mornings? Maybe all day Sunday, the weekends, maybe not then. And then we have no use for Him the rest of the week. We don't cry to be like Him during the week. That's searching. I ask you the question. Search your heart. He wants us to be filled with all the fullness of God. He wants us to live in His presence, that we may walk with Him and commune with Him and be like Him, holy as He is holy. And then I think that He desires that we would be filled with His goodness. You know, it was the goodness of God that led us to repentance. It is the goodness of God that David said followed him all the days of his life. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And what child of God could not speak of the goodness of God? What child of God could not speak of how good God's been to him and all of His ways? And when we meditate upon this, and we remember from which God brought us, where He found us, how many times we have sinned against Him, how many times He's taken us back, how many times He's cleansed us by His blood, how many times He has provided for us undertaken for us. In His providence, He's ruled and overruled for His glory and for our good. Is this not the goodness of God to us? And He wants us to be filled with that goodness. And as that goodness has been communicated to us, then it might flow out to others. We might rejoice in the living God. And as that goodness flows to us, that goodness will flow out to others. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's not a one of us in this house tonight that can say we're in hell. I don't care who you are. And it's the goodness of God that has kept us out of hell. It's the goodness of God that's kept us from running the way that others have run. And He wants us to acknowledge that goodness as David did, and to be filled with that goodness, that that goodness may overflow out of our hearts unto others. That's what he's talking about here, to be filled with all the fullness of God. Is this not what God has to communicate to us? Are not these the spiritual blessings that God has to communicate to us? And then he says in Romans 5 that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that's been given unto us. The love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which has been given unto us. And should we not pray for this? That we would be filled with the love of God? That that love would be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit more and more? That we will be able to comprehend that love, the love of Christ for us? We will rejoice in that love? And that being filled with that love, that the very opposite of that love will not be in our character? Think with me a moment. If love is there, then hatred is not there. That's the opposite. If I'm filled with the fullness of God's love, then I certainly cannot hate. And then bitterness is not there. And bitterness is not manifested. Show me a man who does not hate and who is not filled with bitterness, whose heart is overflowing with the love of God toward him, and he's filled with that love. And I'll show you a man that's walking with the Lord, a woman that's walking with the Lord, a young person that's walking with the Lord. And I ask you a question. Is not that what God wants us to pray for? For ourselves and for others? Imagine walking in the fullness of God, filled with His love, that hatred has no place in the heart. Now, you mean to tell me you would not like to walk like that? You would rather go around hating and filled with hatred and bitterness? No, beloved, let's be filled with the fullness of God. Ask Him that we will, that there'll be no hatred, there'll be no bitterness, there'll be no backbiting. And where the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, there's no seeking for vainglory. We're not doing what we're doing that we might have the commendation of man. But we'll have the commendation of God Himself in our hearts. We've done it for the glory of God, and whatever else happens makes no difference. However we labor and whatever we do, He wants us to be filled with the fullness of God, and this love will fill us, that whatever we do, we will not be seeking our gain and our advantage, and we'll not be seeking for self-glory, but we'll be seeking for the glory of God to be manifested in our hearts and lives. Wait a while now. Don't say in your heart and mind right now, boy, I sure know how that fits so and so. Don't say that. Pray that God will give you that. Whatever happens to the other fellows between him and God, you want to walk in a way that is pleasing to him. You want your heart and life filled with that love. There'll be no hatred, no bitterness, no backbiting, no seeking your own gain, seeking your own advantage, seeking your own glory, but you're seeking only the glory of God. And whatever you do it as unto the Lord with all that you do. Whether you are recognized for it, whether anybody ever commends you for it, do it as unto the Lord. And then, as you seek not your own gain, you will be seeking the good of others. You will be asking God to have mercy upon them. And whatever it is, and I could name all sorts of things, whatever it is, God will bless it. If we give a cup of cold water in the name of the Lord Jesus, he said, we shall get a reward. Just a cup of cold water. And so if we give of our means, and we give of our life, and we give of our strength, and we give of our time, and we do it as unto the Lord, that others may be blessed. And we are doing it for the glory of God, that he might send forth the truth to others. Then God has filled us with his fullness. I'll tell you one thing. If we're filled with the fullness of God and this love, not only will there be no hatred and bitterness and backbiting and not seeking our own gain and advantage, and we'll be seeking the gain of others, but I'll tell you another thing, and this we ought to pray about definitely. We'll not be critical. Will not be critical of others. We'll wait upon the Lord, and we'll look to him. I ask you a question. If the truth was known, is this not a sin that each one of us needs to repent of? And that is of being critical of others. Critical of the way they do things. Critical of the way they conduct this or conduct that or conduct something else. I don't mean to be in sympathy. I don't mean to say that we should be in sympathy with sin. No. But if a poor man and a poor woman is doing the very best that they can, than to be critical of their methods and their ways. Isn't that something that we're all guilty of? Truly, if we knew all the circumstances under which people have to live, if we truly had walked in their shoes, we'd known all the facts. He wants us to be filled with the fullness of God, with this goodness, we live for others. And then he wants us to be filled with the fullness of God in God's mercy and compassion. Are we as compassionate as we should? Can you think of anything more blessed than to be merciful and compassionate? To show in thought and word and deed this mercy of God and compassion which He has shown unto us? You remember the story that our Lord gave, don't you? Of how this man called his servant to account for the way he had handled his business, and he was 10. According to our money, the man owed the master $10 million. $10 million. And the master was going to put him into prison until he paid it all, and he prayed and cried that the master might forgive him and give him time. So the master forgave all his debt. And he went right out and found a servant friend of his who owed him $25. Our money. $25 against $10 million. He asked the man to pay, and he said he didn't have it. He says, well, I'm going to put you into jail until you pay it all. And he cried and begged for mercy. And he wouldn't have it upon him. And when news came back to the master of what he had done, and he brought him before him, and he said, you wicked servant, I forgave you $10 million, and you cannot forgive this man $25? Take him and cast him in there, and where there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Oh, beloved, I ask you a question tonight. Should not we be filled with the mercy and compassion that God has shown to us? Again, instead of being filled with wrath and bitterness and hatred and malice and envy and hating one another, to be filled with God's love and mercy and compassion. Is this not heaven on earth? To show to others what God has shown to me. Mercy. Compassion. Have I fell into sin? Has others fell into sin? How do I treat them? How did I want God to treat me? You see, we should be praying for these things. And this is what he's talking about here. Oh, that God would deal with our hearts tonight. Beloved, is my prayer, my heart and your heart, along this line, that we would pray that these things would be worked in us as never before. We might be filled with all the fullness of God. This is heaven on earth, to be able to act like this. Don't you want this? Don't you want to be like your master? And if you remember Wednesday evening we spoke to you on the spirit and gift of meekness. And of course, doesn't this come in here, loving kindness? Did you know that 30 times in the scriptures these words, loving kindness, are spoken of our living God? He was filled with loving kindness. This was the attribute of our living God that David pled when he came before him in Psalm 51. According to thy loving kindness and tender mercy, blot out mine iniquities. Loving kindness. Just the very words themselves has a ring about them that should make us stop and think. Loving kindness. Doesn't that have a ring about it? Doesn't that have a sound about it? This is what I want. I want to be filled with loving kindness toward my fellow man, toward my wife, and toward my husband, and toward my children, and toward my friends, and toward my neighbors, and especially those of the household of God, filled with the loving kindness of God. Should not we beg God day and night that we would be filled with this? Would not we all own up to the fact tonight that we need that attribute of God called His long suffering? Do we suffer long? The difference between patience and long suffering, as my understanding is this: we are patient in circumstances. We are long-suffering with people. We suffer long with people, and we are patient under circumstances that are against us, that try us. And has not God been patient and long-suffering with us? Is not this another one that if we were praying tonight that we would pray for? I know I would, and I do. That long suffering would be extended to others, and I'd be filled with the fullness of God. He's called the God of all patience, the God of all mercies. The long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. And you know, this was one of the very attributes of God that Moses pled when God said to Moses, "Get out of the way, don't talk to me. I'm going to wipe all of these out as one man, and then I'll take you and make you a great nation." Because they're always a rebellious and stony-hearted people. And Moses said, "Well, what of that attribute of long-suffering that you told me about when I was in the mount? What are the Egyptians going to say that you could bring them here and couldn't bring them all the way because you're patience finally gave out and your long suffering could not bear any longer with them? What are the Canaanites going to say? The enemies in the land." Be filled with that fullness of God. So, beloved, we have a lot to pray for, don't we? And this is a prayer, mind you. And to be filled with the fullness of God is to pray. But you say, "Pastor, all of these things, I don't understand, I don't, no, don't stop putting up any excuses. I prefaced my message tonight by quoting you that 20th verse. That He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Well, Pastor, why don't you get all of these things in your life before you come to preach to us? Beloved, all I can say is this is my prayer and my cry, and if it all had to be worked in my life to a perfection, I don't believe I'd ever stand here. I'm just like you. I need to pray this prayer. Don't you? Ask God for this tonight. And truly, if you followed us, is not this the fruit of the Spirit? Is not this the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, humility, temperance. Against such there is no law. We better keep crying. These things will be worked. Or otherwise our hearts will grow cold and hard and set. And there's nothing in the world any harder than set cement. And a heart on which there's made no impression. But I ask you a question. By the grace of God tonight, has there been a deep desire, or at least a little desire, in your heart as we brought out the Word of God? There's been some cry in your heart, "Oh, my living God, my Father, my God, work these things in my heart." And you who've come this way and you say you don't know Him. Well, shouldn't this be your cry, that Christ may dwell in your heart? And that He would work in your heart? That Christ would dwell in your heart like this? That you would be filled with the fullness of God? Then meditate upon His Word. Ask the Holy Spirit to work in you as never before, working these things in you. And let's pray for each other that God will give us a people here. And start with me. That's right. Start with me. And start with you as an individual. Pray. And you'd see a change and revival spirit and a reviving of our hearts as never before. And God has dealt in our hearts with in tenderness and love tonight, and I thank Him for it. Pray that you'll see a change, first in your life, and then in the life of others. Will you? Brother Edward, would you lead us in closing prayer?
Lord and our Father, that we meditate upon Thy goodness, Thy mercy and Thy goodness, we are amazed. Oh, how good Thou hast been to us, how blessed Thou hast been to us. But how casually we have accepted of Thy goodness. Oh, this that we have heard in this evening hour, to be filled with all Thy fullness, seems so absolutely impossible to us. And yet, Thou hast said Thou art able. We could not ever achieve it. We could never even approach into it in any way whatsoever. But, oh, do Thou fill us. Fill us with Thy own self. Indwell us, not occasionally, but constantly. Cause us to know Thy presence. Cause us to know that we walk in Thy presence. Fill us with Thy loving kindness. The psalmist said, Thy loving kindness is better than life. And we treasure life so we guard our lives and we do that to sustain, to improve our lives. We have such a great desire for light. Yet I said, Thou art the light. Thou art our light. We do not live unless Thou dost live in us. We can exist. But we cannot truly live unless Thou dost live in us. Drive out, we pray Thee, hatred, pride, selfishness, a critical spirit, fill us with long suffering. Fill us with Thy patience. Oh, cause us, our Father. Cause us truly to be filled with all the fullness of God. Fill me. Change me. May my attitudes, may my ambitions, and my desires be in accord with that which Thou wouldst have. May the world see it and give glory unto Thee. Oh, that Thy name might be glorified in all things. for thou art deserving of all glory, majesty, dominion, and power. All praise belongs unto thee, and we neglect so to praise thee. Oh, give us the saving of our full of praise and thanksgiving unto thee. Cause us to meditate upon these marvelous truths that we have heard in this evening hour. May we not get away from them. May we not apply this to someone else, but apply this to my own heart. Fill us with faith in you, the fullness of God. Thou knowest our physical needs. Thou knowest our spiritual needs. We come to one who is able. Thou knowest the needs of this ministry. We come to one who is able. Able to do abundantly more above all that we might even ask or even think. So we ask of thee, our Father, to do that for us, this dark desire to do that. Do that for us that will bless us, to turn our hearts unto thee. Do that unto us that will glorify thy name. For we ask this. In the name and for the glory and for the sake of thy own precious name, the name of Christ our Lord and our Savior. Amen.
Amen. May God bless you.